In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're now on Lesson 21, about the commandments of the Church, the first and second commandments. And at the top, we have a somewhat fanciful drawing of our Blessed Lord giving St. Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven, which he did not do so literally. But nonetheless, the drawing stands for some good symbolism. There's a quote there from St. Matthew's Gospel, "And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Keys are a symbol of authority, since the rulers of fortified cities in ancient times used to keep the keys of the gates. So we're talking here about a symbol of authority. Question 279. Whence has the Catholic Church the right to make laws? The Catholic Church has the right to make laws from Jesus Christ, who said to the apostles, the first bishops of his church, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound also in heaven." We have seen that the purpose of laws is to guide us to God. Christ sent his church into the world as a living guide to point out new dangers that would arise in the course of time and to apply the laws of God to new times and circumstances. The church has power from God to make laws and to change laws that it makes. It has no power, however, over the laws of God themselves. The church can never change them to make it all right, for example, to steal or to lie. So, notice it says, "whatever you bind." So, if a penance, say, is imposed by the Church or the Pope, or it is lifted, then our belief is that imposition or lifting is from Christ. Many sins, in a sense, if you will, and temptations are around today which were not around at the time of Christ, such as can be found on the internet, say. This concerns, of course, only faith and morals, and not civil law. By the way, you see the picture there of a pope with an interesting-looking hat. It's a triple crown, a beehive crown, and it symbolized three things. Pope Paul VI, back in the 60s, was the last pope to use that, and he actually got rid of it, and popes since have not worn it. But it has three crowns, the first one being the crown of chastity. It used to be that priests, bishops, monks used to wear what was called a tonsure, and it would be, if you will, a ring of hair around the head, such that the rest of the hair was cut, so there'd just be one ring around it, like a crown. A few orders still do this today, but most of them have dropped that practice. The second crown is, of course, as a secular ruler, because the papal states once comprised a large portion of Italy, so he was the prince or the ruler of those particular states. And then the top crown is, of course, the greatest, and that is as the vicar of Christ, who is charged by God with ruling the church in the stead of Christ, that is, as his vicar, only as his vicar. Christ is still the head of the church. Question 280. By whom is this right to make laws exercised? This right to make laws is exercised by the bishops, the successors of the apostles, and especially by the Pope, who has the successor of the chief of the apostles. St. Peter has the right to make laws for the universal church. So when laws are made by bishops, a particular law, say, in this diocese, Archdiocese of Denver, particular law can be made by the Archbishop of Denver, such that, for example, we are currently moving to a new situation where the age of confirmation is being lowered, as it originally was in the church, lowered to before the reception of First Holy Communion. And an archbishop has that authority, but only over his own archdiocese. He cannot rule, for example, that the Diocese of Colorado Springs do the same. Well, a conference of bishops for a particular country, and we have the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, they can make laws, too, for all of the dioceses. Laws, for example, regarding the keeping of holy days. And they made a decision, for example, that Ascension Thursday, which is a holy day, that the obligation of it is simply transferred to the next Sunday. Whether or not they should do this, whether or not these are good laws, that's another question. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. But still, they can make the laws. They have the authority. And I should say, too, on these laws, they are always submitted to the Holy See for approval, and they are rarely overturned by the Holy See. Question 281. What are the chief commandments or laws of the Church? The chief commandments or laws of the Church are six. First, to assist at Mass on all Sundays and holy days of obligation. Second, to fast and to abstain on the days appointed. Third, to confess our sins at least once a year. Fourth, to receive Holy Communion during the Easter time. Fifth, to contribute to the support of the Church. Sixth, to observe the laws of the Church concerning marriage. These are the chief laws of the Church, but there are many others besides the general laws of the Church, and each diocese has particular laws for those who live in that diocese. For example, in number six there, to observe the laws of the Church concerning marriage, well, there's a number of them that have to do with the universal Church, but there are others that just have to do with this diocese. For example, it is set by the Archdiocese of Denver that the period of time from the first contact of the parish priest to the date of the wedding should be 8 months. Now, since the Archbishop of Denver made this law, he can dispense it. So if there's good reason to dispense this, and sometimes there is, let's say, military deployment of one of the spouses makes it necessary, gosh, we need to move up the date or something like that. But when these laws are set or by a conference, again, they hold as much as when the Pope sets them. Now, you hear it said that the Church has so many laws and regulations. But as compared to what? There are hundreds of laws regulating just the use of automobiles in the state of Colorado, from having a title to a car to insurance laws to traffic laws. And here, what are the total number of commandments for the Universal Church? Six. Not very much at all. So that old canard about the Church having too many laws and regulations, I think is frankly ridiculous. Question 282. What sin does a Catholic commit who, through his own fault, misses Mass on a Sunday or holy day of obligation? And here we need to get this. This is very important. The Catechism says the following. A Catholic who, through his own fault, misses Mass on a Sunday or holy day of obligation, commits a mortal sin. This is extremely serious. It hurts Christ tremendously if we do not love him enough even to assist on Mass on Sunday after all he has suffered to give us the Mass. So, we might say here, well, how do I know when I miss Mass? Let's say I come to Mass, but I miss a portion of it. I'm late. Or something happens, or for some reason I have to leave Mass early. What's the basic obligation of attending Mass on Sunday? And there's an old saying that works pretty well here, from veil to veil. That is, from the time in the Mass when the veil is taken off of the chalice to the time when it is put back on towards the end of the Mass, if you're present for those, then you have at least fulfilled the minimum of your obligation. Now, we can commit venial sin objectively if we are late through our own fault, but we avoid mortal sin if we were there from the beginning of the offertory to the end of the rite of communion. That's what I meant by veil to veil. So that's the basic obligation. And it's just Sundays and the holy days of obligation. Which brings us to question 283. Which are the holy days of obligation in the United States? There's six of them, only six. Christmas Day, Octave of the Nativity, Ascension Thursday, the Assumption, All Saints Day, and the Immaculate Conception. Those are very important dates. Now, Ascension Thursday is still a holy day, but the obligation has been transferred to the following of Sunday. Now, in the Universal Church, there are many other holy days of obligation. For example, St. Patrick's Day in Ireland. But in our country, there are just six. So again, with Ascension Thursday, it's still a holy day, but we are not obliged to go to Mass on that day. So notice the difference here. Last thing on this. We have an obligation to assist at Mass on all Sundays and holy days. And you might think, well, isn't there already a commandment, the third commandment, about Sundays? The answer is yes, that's true. But what this church commandment does is it specifies a little more as to how we are to keep the Lord's Day holy. And primarily, we are to keep it holy by going to Mass.